in just a short time, about, I don't know, 7 or 8 weeks away. And we're preparing our ministry team right now. And they're doing a great job. We've got some skits and dramas we want to do. Plus, I'd like to bring them here just so they could be around, like, all your beautiful Asian faces and your black hair and stuff. Because, you know, they're all, like, white people. And it'd just be kind of fun to, you know, have them meet you. And maybe you could share with them a little bit about your culture. I would absolutely love that. Will you pray for us? Raise your hand if you will. All right. Good, good, good. Let's see what else. Yeah. If anybody's interested in learning Mandarin, you know, how many of you already speak Mandarin? All right. How many of you understand it, but you don't speak it? All right. Yeah, we've got some Mandarin classes. I'll talk to Brady about it, and maybe, you know, it's like after school in the evenings, you know, and you just be like all excited about sounding like your grandparents. I don't know. We'll see. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, I thank you so much that you give us truth that is everlasting. And this morning, as we open up the everlasting gates of our minds and our hearts, you can come in and speak to us like only you can. Pray this morning that you will even do that in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. There's, you know, when I read this portion of Scripture, Revelation chapter 15, I got to tell you the truth. I was not really thrilled to come here and share this with you today. So I listened to it in my car, and I kept thinking, there's got to be something in here that is going to, like, snag me and get me, like, involved in this portion of Scripture because it's the Word of God. And I must have listened to it 15 times, and all of a sudden, it just kind of like fell on me. Because Revelation chapter 15 is pretty scary stuff. And then I began to realize that, you know, the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord. Now, how many of you like to be scared? Anybody like to be scared? Okay, cool.
Changes were completed.
It's very interesting, okay? That's the end of it there, of that whole chapter. Now, here is, look up here at the screen now. Here, what is that? It's a bomb. And so when we think about the book of Revelation, I'd like us to just consider this, that this bomb is ticking. It is set for a particular time. It might only be 8 o'clock right now, but, you know, when the time is right, that bomb, Revelation, is going to happen. And what's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to me at that time? We have time, we have space between now and then to get ready. And unfortunately, and I don't believe this is true of you guys, but unfortunately in the church world today, there is a lack of understanding about the power of God that makes us overcomers. We see in this portion of Scripture there are people who have overcome. We need to be that group of people. This chapter is about God's wrath. And the thing that will save us from His wrath would be the fear of the Lord today. Because in that day, it's way too late. Now, you guys know me. I like talking about, like, you know, great fire of God coming in our lives and being all turned on to do what is right, you know. And to be all charged up to, you know, take over the world with Jesus. Because that's what we're called to do. And so many times, you know, our relationship with the Lord is reduced to a religion where young people especially can feel like, I can't do this because I'm a Christian. I can't do that because I'm a Christian. And I can't do this because I'm a Christian. Instead, God wants us to realize that if we will embrace this idea, that it will build within us a caution that will keep us and make us clean and powerful. If every time we go to reach for something that's not good, we realize it's going to bite, then we will behave and begin to think differently. And that's the purpose. So let's take a look here now at corrective punishment versus the idea of wrath. Okay? Because God, you know, when bad things happen to good people, Christian people, many times It's God trying to get our attention. All right? I remember when I was, about 16. Yeah, I was 16. And I worked downtown Detroit. I lived out in East Point. And I was driving downtown Detroit to go to work. And the roads were a little slippery, kind of like they were last night. And at that time, of course, I didn't know the Lord. And I was smoking a cigarette. And I was staring at the smoke when I should have been paying attention to the road. You know, and I'm smoking the cigarette, and the smoke is just, you're making this cool kind of little design, you know. They have Photoshop brushes now that look like smoke. Oh, they're so cool, you know. And it's really about physics and how the air grabs those little particles and whips them around, you know, and just kind of like, you know, it's like, whoa, that is so cool. I mean, it was a regular cigarette. I wasn't smoking anything weird, okay? But, you know, what happened was I was distracted. It took my attention away, and I slammed on the brakes, and I knew I was going to hit the car in front of me. So instead, I turned the wheel, and I drove right into the guardrail, and I smashed up the whole side of my car. You know, now, God was trying to get my attention. It was my fault, you know, and it could have been avoided. He could have just put his angel out there to stop me, you know. But he was getting my attention. He was getting my attention. I knew a lady who was in her late 60s, or 50s rather, and she had cancer. And she said, I know why I have this cancer. And this was a long time ago. This was before abortion clinics existed. But this lady said, I know why I've gotten this. She said, God is punishing me because I had an abortion. You know, at times, you know, when bad things happen to us, we can, coming to mind instantly, are reasons why those things happen. God sometimes, you know, will correct us. It's not his wrath. Now, of course, she had a surgery. This was back in the 60s, and she lived to be, I don't know, like 90-some years old. But God got a hold of her. The other day, I was driving down a street out by us. We live in the country. And I went to reach for my phone. How many of you know a telephone with texting, you know, an iPhone with all the toys on it can be a distraction, you know? And I went to reach for it, and I looked up, and there was a deer running right out in front of me. And I hit the deer. You know, I hit that deer. He flew way up in the air, tore out the whole front end of my car for the second time. I'm going to get a license plate that says Deer Slayer, you know, because I keep hitting these deer. But it's like, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me not to text and drive. And so then was like a couple days later, we're watching some program on TV, and this family lost their daughter, you know, to texting and driving. And so God got my attention. Now, I didn't suffer his wrath. The deer did, but I was fine. All right. So there you go. Now, the wrath of God is a whole different thing. It's his final sentence, okay? It's his final sentence on something. How many of you, when you were a little kid, ever saw a bug someplace and you stepped on it with your foot? Did you ever do that? You have, okay. What kind of bug was it? Do you remember? Ants, okay, yeah, they're easy. All right, anybody like go for a spider? That's a little more daring. You stepped on a spider before? How big was it? Do you remember? Pretty big. Did it crunch under your foot?
Not really. It was more juicy.
Okay. Kind of a juicy spider. All right, yeah, one of those fat ones. Right, right. All right. But that's kind of what wrath is, okay? It's like, my wife was afraid of spiders and my son wasn't, you know, when he was just a little tyke. And she'd say, Christian, come here, mommy needs you, hurry up, you know, and he'd come running over and just go, and the thing is done. It's over. There's no correction to the spider. Nobody said, excuse me, but you kind of belong outside, you know what I'm saying? Didn't hear the doorbell ring. I don't know how you got in here. You know, could you kind of leave now? No, there's none of that kind of dialogue going on with the spider. It's like, I don't like you. You know, he's done. All right? Now, that's what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. God is done at a certain point in time. And this happens. We've seen it happen throughout Scripture, so it's kind of interesting. His judgment, his wrath came on Sodom and Gomorrah. He judged Egypt that way. The firstborn, dead. It's incredible. God can do that. Babylon, he judged Babylon. Jericho, the wall came down, people died. End of story. All right? So there's a big difference between his wrath. The day of Noah. Noah was a preacher. Some people listened, some people didn't. Only 8 people were saved. The rest, they all drowned. The end of the story. It's kind of like the book of Revelation when we start reading about all of these plagues that are coming on the earth. It's very interesting. We find that in the book of Judges, when God's people don't live the way they're supposed to live, famine comes in, enemies from around start coming in, and then God's people begin to cry out to Him, and He comes and He saves them. That's the story of our own lives at times. I mean, how many of us, you know, if this image here, this is the hill of the Lord. This is God's dwelling place, okay? And He shines down His light. You know, Scripture is pretty clear about, you know, what this Mount Zion, you know, image is all about. You know, it's His tabernacle. It's where the Lord lives. The Ark of the Covenant, you know, what David, the covenant, the Ark that David set up. And our journey is to travel, you know, along this way to, you know, be close to the Lord. And we traverse this path from beginning to end. And when our lives are over, wherever we have ended, our path is where we are for all of eternity. So God gives us these opportunities in the meantime between now and that day. 2 Kings chapter 22 brings us out in an interesting way. He says, "Go and inquire of the Lord," the king says, "for me and for the people and for all Judah, what is written in the book that has been found." They had just discovered, you know, the old scriptures. "Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book." So sometimes, like in a nation even, you know, when one administration leaves and another one comes in, we're left with the decisions that the former generation has made. And so you and I are living with some baggage right now that we didn't pack for ourselves. We kind of inherited that along our journey. Now, I want to ask this question. Who qualifies for God's wrath? Who qualifies for the wrath of God? First thing that we want to bring out here is that every one of us do. It's not a real happy message. Okay? I was listening to a sermon by Jonathan Edwards, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And he paints this incredible picture of all of us walking on this planet, but instead of the earth being, you know, a real thick crust, that it's kind of thin. Kind of like ice, you know, like we've got a pond or a lake, you know, that might be around. And when it freezes over, you know, like in Anchor Bay where we live, the cars are all out on the ice right now. And there's little shanties all over the place. It's like a city moves out onto the bay. It's really cool. And I've driven on the ice. You know, it's really kind of fun. But every year, somebody breaks through that ice and they sink their vehicle, their car, their little ice shanty. You know, it just goes right into the water. And Jonathan Edwards was saying that we are walking, as it were, on the earth, but it has a very thin crust. And if the weight of our sin becomes too heavy, it's as if it would open up and we would go right into hell. And in a sense, every single one of us deserved the wrath of God. We deserve that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I know that verse is so overused that we just think, well, everybody's in the same boat. You know. But the fact is, I deserve it and you deserve it as well. The wrath of God, it says in Romans chapter 1:18, is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people. All people who hold the truth or who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And so today we have to ask ourselves, do I know in my mind and in my heart more about God and about what is right and what is wrong? Do I know more about that than I'm actually living? Very important question. Are you and I living up to everything that we know we should be doing? Okay, I see some heads going, no. We're not living up to what we know is right. Now, if I could shake us all up today, I'd love to in a wonderful, wonderful, good way. Because here's the deal. I had my kids this week write a paper. Just a short paragraph. I didn't care how long it was. I didn't care about grammar. All I care about is, do you get it? You know, the new commandment. Does anybody know the new commandment that Jesus gave us? Anybody know that one? The new one. Yes. Who knows it? Oh, good.
Love your God with your whole heart.
Okay.
With your whole soul and with your whole.
Okay, that is the first and great commandment, to love God with everything. And then he said the second one was like unto it. Who knows what that is? Right, love your neighbor as yourself. But then later in John 13:34, Jesus said, I am going to give you a brand new commandment. And I'm amazed that we forget that he gave us something new. And the new one is, love as I have loved. Wow, that's huge. Love as I have loved. That means lay your life down. No greater love does anybody have than you lay your life down. So I asked my students, I said, give me just a, how can you walk that out? And you know, about 80% of the papers said this. Well, they didn't even answer the question. God's love is unconditional. Is that true? It is true. So what I did, it was so funny. I had like the kids were making these beautiful Valentine cards and they were putting glitter on them. You know, we're actually making them for a store and the store is selling them. So there was a bottle of glitter and I said, it's true. And I picked up the bottle of glitter and I goes, God's love is unconditional. And I knew the lid was on, so everything was cool. And I said, it's on everybody. And I said, you know, his love has many different facets, too. So I picked up another one, and I stood up. And I went like this again, and the lid wasn't on the glitter. And I got glitter on everybody. It was hilarious, you know. And it's true. His love is on all of us. But then, out of the group, you know, who's going to respond back to that love? Okay? That's the real question. And concerning this time bomb, you know, when this baby goes off, those who have responded back, those who are closest to him, will be protected. Because he won't let any harm. We're not appointed to wrath. He's appointed to us to obtain salvation. That's his appointment. But are we going to keep that appointment? And I've got this sense, you know, that there are appointments every day. Every day there's like an appointment that we have with God to be connected with him. I love what my one student said. He goes, if I go 20 minutes without talking with God, I just feel like something is wrong. You know, he's staying connected with God to be hid in the day of his wrath and of his anger. So God's judgment, his wrath, Romans 1:18, his wrath is against everybody, saved and unsaved, who suppress the truth by their wickedness. It's such a solid, solid statement. Because his love is unconditional, and when he pours it out and people ignore it, turn the other way, you know, there's consequences. There's consequences for that. Because as we go in another direction, it continually gets worse and worse and worse. Okay? In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, it says, he will render to every man according to his works. And that means eternal life to those who patiently do good and they aim for the unseen glory and honor and eternal world. It also means anger and wrath for those who rebel against God's plan of life and refuse to obey His rules. All right? So we've got two things going on there. And I've got this illustration up here because it's so clear, you know, that we should fully understand that we are on a journey. This path leads to God. Now, anywhere along the way, you know, there come these incredible forks in a road. So, you know, if I'm here today, oh, that's my wife. Here's me. I'm so much taller. And we're on this road together, okay? And we have a choice as individuals. Now, the interesting thing is, you know, this road's going to pick up over here again. And it's going to head this way. All right? So that, you know, there's hills and valleys in life. You know, we go through these. We journey. And this one, of course, is going to, you know, pick up over here again. Now, what will happen? God, in His mercy, will always make a way so that there's another fork in a road. So, let's say this person, who will remain nameless, takes the wrong route, okay, and ends up on this road, okay, and this one leads way over there. This one, you know, can lead back, you know, to this road again. God is continually giving us opportunities, all right? And even on this road, you know, you might have a change of heart and head back that way. But the beautiful thing is that these roads, the path of life, is designed to bring us to one place. But there will always be forks in the road, opportunities, you know, to go in some other direction. But even in this, God will make a way for us to return to Him. It's very challenging. I just found out last night, I had one of my former students over. They're 45 years old. That's how old I am. Anyhow, we're sitting there talking, and they were listing all the kids who died in their senior class. I was shocked. You know, one girl got pregnant in high school, split up with that guy, and married somebody else, divorced that person, married a really rich guy. From her abortion, she was never able to have children again. Lived an empty life, filling it with riches because she married this wealthy guy. You know, had, I don't know, a bazillion pair of shoes, you know, and all of this stuff that was empty. She died a miserable person at a very young age, you know, like 45 years old, you know, because there were some choices made early on in life. So it's important what we do with our lives. It's interesting. Here we have in John chapter 12, it says, Jesus performed all these great signs and wonders, these miracles in their presence, and they still would not believe Him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason they could not believe, because, as Isaiah said in Scripture, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. So they could not see with their eyes or understand with their hearts, nor turn. And so here God is speaking about His people. How many of us have in our walk had a period of time where we maybe grew a little cold? It happens. And yet there's always a path that God will provide for us so that we can get back. And you know, and there's this thought likewise in the church world today that the Old Testament is full of judgment and the New Testament is full of mercy and grace. You know, as I started reading and thinking about that, I realized that the New Testament is a lot more has a lot more judgment in it and more severe judgments than the Old Testament. It's hyped up in both ways. There's more grace and more mercy. But because of that, God holds us to a higher standard. In the Old Testament, all you had to do was not commit adultery. In the New Testament, you're not allowed to even think it. Yeah. In the New Testament, when Herod stands up and receives all the praise as being a god, He drops dead and worms eat him alive. Same with Ananias and Sapphira. Drop dead. You know, you only have one situation like that in the Old Testament where the earth opened up and swallowed Korah, you know, Dathan and Abiram. In the New Testament, we've got those examples, and who knows the ones that, you know, weren't recorded. So, yeah, and then you've got the whole book of Revelation in the New Testament. You know, you have, in the Old Testament, you have, you know, like a city blown up. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities. You know, they're wiped out. But in the book of Revelation, it's global. God's judgment is huge, and His wrath is huge. It's global in the New Testament. And the scary part about this, you know, I said boo to him before and he didn't flinch. But now, God is wanting us to have a holy fear. Because He's offered to us so much and He holds us accountable. And there, listen to this scripture. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. How many of you here have the knowledge of the truth? You know what it is to be saved. You understand. Raise your hand if you know Jesus, if you've asked Christ into your life. Okay. So we have, listen to what it says. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. So what's left? Only a fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's New Testament. So God has put on us an incredible responsibility. And I thought about this message and I thought, you know, this could go one of two ways. Could you stand up for a minute? Can I use you as an example again? You're so good. And yeah, there we go. Turn around. Okay, so I'm going to take his arm. I'm going to put your arm behind your back. Now, would you please serve the Lord? I'm going to break your arm off if you don't serve God. You going to serve God?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sit down. All right. Did that look like fun? That really did not look like fun. Now, what if I could come over to him and I could have my magic Jesus juice? And I say, how about this? If you will just drink of this, you can serve God with all of your heart. It's kind of what Jesus did. He said, take this cup and drink. Eat my flesh. Let my life get into you so that you are turned on and you are excited. Nobody's twisting your arm. Could you do me another favor? Could you just stand here and jump up and down and say, yippee, I'm serving Jesus. You hurt your ankle? I tell you, I wish I had the power. Right? I pray his ankle be totally healed. He could jump through the ceiling tile. Okay? But I mean, to serve God like this. Okay, I'll stop sinning. I won't do this. I won't do that. Or to serve God like, I get to serve Jesus today. It is so cool. I can't wait to share his life with everybody. Because there's a river of life flowing out from us. See the difference? So when you have a fear of the Lord, a fear of the Lord, you don't go near the candy box. Not only will it bite you later, but you won't be free to serve God. So I'll tell you what. When you're free, you don't want to go back to chains. You know, when I worked in the jail, those guys didn't want to come back to jail. Once they're free, they want to stay out of jail. The only way they could really do it is if Jesus comes in them so that they hate that thing and they don't steal and they don't do the things they did before. So guys, this scripture is hitting us heavy today because he says that if we sin willfully, especially when God says, I'm going to give you my power to be an overcomer. And that group gets to play music by the seashore there. They're in Revelation. They're people that are going to be there. I'd rather be singing some songs of praise than to be, you know, in the midst of the horrible things that are coming at this point. And I know that you guys understand that mid-trib is when the rapture takes place. How fantastic. And I was wondering, well, why do we have to go through half of it? Why go through half of it? Because God knows that through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. So all along the way, there's trials and so on that are really good for us. All right, there's a lot more that we could go into here on this whole portion, but here he says in the same section of Scripture, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot and who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You know, that literally means somebody who says no to the power of God because they want to sin. They know better, but they want to. For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge, and it says, his people. Okay? It's a dreadful thing to fall into hands of the living God. There are many other scriptures here, and I've lost track of time. How much time do we have? Oh! Okay, cool. Good. Then I'm right on track. This is great. Romans 11:22 says, "Consider therefore the kindness and the severity of God." Take both of those, his wonderful kindness and his severity of God. I love this verse in Psalm 2, verse 12. It says, "Kiss the Son, and or he will be angry, and your way will lead to destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him." Get this picture. It says, kiss him. And it also says that his anger can flare up in a moment. And the idea here is that, yeah, God can be scary, but our job is to run toward him. Okay? I think I told you the story about the time I demolished the family's only first brand new car, 1958 Mercury. And my father was a little Italian guy, very stout and kind of, he could be angry very quickly. Did I tell you the story about the car I smashed? Yeah, okay, yeah. I did not want to go home, all right? But when I got home, I saw the kindness. Behold the goodness and the mercy, you know, along with this fury. And so it is. God wants us to run to him in that kind of a way. All right? So the wrath of God comes in our lives, and likewise, his correction comes when we fail to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And this brings us to a central thought, that in daily life, there should be things that we're convicted of, because we're not perfect. And when we respond to the Lord in a good way over those issues, you know, we sense his presence in our lives. I looked ahead to Revelation chapter 16. And that chapter is beautiful. It's filled with God's pleadings. Listen to this. There's ugly, festering sores on people who had the mark of the beast. All right? The sea is turned to blood and every living thing in it dies. The rivers and springs of water become blood. Then I heard an angel, the angel in charge of the water, say, "You are just in these judgments." Throughout Revelation, it keeps saying God is just for all these things he's bringing. All right? The sun scorched people with fire, and they cursed God. And then it says this, "But they refused to repent and glorify him." Darkness came, and it says this, "But they refused to repent of what they had done." All right? Demonic spirits are released. Flashes of lightning and thunder and severe earthquakes like never before. See, the New Testament has like never before. Cities collapse and mountains and islands disappear. 100-pound hailstones fall out of the sky. All right? Like never before. And after all that, it says they refused to repent. Those are the people that get the wrath of God. Now may we be the people who repent. Amen. We want to be those that repent before the Lord. In conclusion here, we've got three things we want to look at. Three simple things. Are we making the little decisions to answer this question in everyday life to keep God's wrath far away from us? If we make small decisions, okay, it'll be too late. when that day comes. I have a tree. We have a couple trees in our driveway. All right. And it's kind of interesting to watch these trees. I've been there 15 years. And so these trees have grown in 15 years. And this one tree has the driveway is like this. All right. And there's a tree growing right here. And it's a huge tree. And it has all of these branches. And it had five trunks. It had these five trunks, all right, all coming out. And there's other branches, of course, on. And this tree grew leaning. Each of these started to lean, all right? This one leans this way. That one leans that way. And this one's relatively straight. I cut some others off because they were leaning a lot. Now, as we grow, we lean. Some of you are leaning toward... Who was that? I was talking... Are you Alan? Stephen, I knew that. I was talking with Stephen. And he was talking about some class in school that he really enjoys a lot, you know. Oh, what was it? International business or something? Yeah. And so he's leaning that way. What a cool direction. That's a really cool thing, especially, you know, this day and age. All right? Very cool. So that's his leaning. All right? Now, if he keeps leaning that way, that's the way he's going to grow. Now, there's good leanings and there's bad leanings. I wouldn't doubt that some people here lean toward video games. Oh, I saw a bunch of heads go up. Okay. I'm not telling who you are. All right. So, leaning toward video games. If that's what you do your whole life, you know what? Eventually, this branch of this tree is going to fall. Where do you think it's going to fall? Is this branch going to fall over here? No. Is this branch going to fall over here? Yeah. All right. So someday it's going to block my driveway. Now I have to get out there with a chainsaw and cut this baby out and get rid of it. Okay. That's where it's going to fall. Now here's the deal. However you grow, that's how you're going to end up. I know you already knew that. But it's good to think about that on a daily basis. Because there's a verse in Ecclesiastes. It says, you know... if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. And so it is for our lives. Whatever we choose, that's where we're going to end up. All right? This is going to keep ticking, and it's going to go off when it's supposed to go off. But where will we be? Number one is to have the fear of the Lord. Have the fear of the Lord in our lives. That will keep us. The second thing is to love God and His restoration. All right? As our brother brought out, you know, the most important commandment is to love God. All right? That's crucial. And then to love as He loved, that's even more powerful. All right? To love as He loved. All right? And the idea here is, like I mentioned earlier, you know, if we will have the fear, run toward the Lord. Number two, have the love. This love will be that fire. All right, that's fire, in case you couldn't tell. That fire will overflow in our lives. And then your relationship with God will not be somebody twisting your arm. It will not be somebody telling you what you can't do. But it will be the inside fire of God's Holy Spirit telling you what you can do for the kingdom of God. That is fun. Christianity should be fun. More fun than any other way of living, because it comes by the power of God in you. That is wonderful, wonderful stuff. All right? And then our third thing that we want to look at is that we allow God's sifting. Because you're all sitting here today, and you all already know that you have... Oh, I'm sorry. It was just water. I'll clean it later. You're all sitting there this morning knowing that you have little nasty things in your lives. Is that right? You got some little things that, you know, just aren't quite right. You don't have to pretend they're not there. All we have to do is ask your parents. Could you turn this off for me, please? Thank you. So let God sift your life, okay? So what I have here today are all these containers, these bottles. Now God says we have this treasure, okay, in earthen vessels. Now I didn't choose earthen vessels today. I chose these vessels because we could see what's in them, all right? So we've got all these different kind of containers. And sometimes, you know, in life, God will pour us from one container to another. So what is in here now is somebody's life, okay? Oh. Anybody want to drink this? I didn't think so. Because although it's good purified water, there's something else in this, okay? There's floaties. Now there's some black beans. Oh, those are the worst kind, okay? That is like sin that is just really nasty. And then there's those other speckled ones. You know, I don't know what kind of sin that is. But each of those things in there represent things in our lives. Now, Jesus said this. He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. Now, this is Jesus. Couldn't Jesus have said, Peter, Satan wants to sift you. I'm not going to let him. Jesus never said that. He let the sifting process come. And so this is a sieve. And so Jesus said, Satan wants to sift you. Okay? And then what's going to happen? He said, but I have prayed for you. So what we have is God sifts out. He lets the devil do it. All these things that are not right in our lives, he separates them out and then he throws them away. All right? I want to show you something interesting here. That can happen. God has taken many things out of our lives already. All right? So then God, you know, and in this process, it's painful because he pours us, actually, he pours us from one vessel to another, and there's still some sediment in there. All right? And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's uncomfortable. Now look, I used to be this shape, then I became this shape, then he poured me into this shape, you know, and then he may pour me into another shape, you know. And God does this uncomfortable. Like you go into a new class, you don't want that class. You know, you get a foreign exchange student and you just don't quite know how to relate to that kid in your home. You know, God pours us from one job to another job. The teacher you like, the teacher you don't know yet. Scary, all right? But he sifts this stuff out. But if you'll notice, anybody want to drink this? No. There's just a little bit of funky color there, all right? So what I'm saying are two things. God will take those nasty things out of your life. And when he does, sometimes there's a little residual something left there. And it takes a personal meeting with God to further purify what he has placed in our lives. So it's not good to just not do things, okay, that we know are wrong. We need to personally connect with God, meet with him, and let him further purge the water of his word in our lives. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, Revelation 15 is a time bomb. It's ticking. Moment by moment, every day we're walking this pathway. Every day we have millions, maybe thousands, of decisions to make with these little forks in the road. Should I eat it? Shouldn't I eat it? Should I relate to that person? Shouldn't I? Should I spend more time in video games? Or should I spend less time? Should I be friends with that person? Or that person? Am I giving my employer all of my time when he's paying for it? Am I being obedient in the spirit to my parents and teachers? Lord, these are decisions we make every day that bring us closer to you or a little off the path. And today we pray that, Lord, you'll fill us with a holy reverential fear that attracts us to you, so that although your anger can flare up in a moment, We run toward you because you are our Father. And we feel secure in that relationship. Give us that, we pray, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding, so that we can be spared in the day of your wrath. Your word says that to be kept from that day of wrath, that we are to seek meekness and humility so that we can embrace the sweet conviction of the Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.